Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, Jim Fetzer, Professor Emeritus Fetzer of Need to Know News, and the number one conspiracy researcher, in my humble opinion, Brian Davidson, Houston, Texas, John Carman, and he is from Southern California. And John, introduce yourself with your unique background on this special show on the Trump assassination, or at least that's what we've been shown.
Well, I've got an extensive background, military family, Secret Service at 21 in 1974, right after Nixon left office, August 9th, 74. So I worked Foreign Missions Division, counter sniper details, counterterrorism, I said, Russian embassy, just to give you an idea, and then transferred to the White House. Ford, then Carter, heads of state, Anwar Sadat, Menachem Begin during the peace talks, Queen Elizabeth, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, the list is endless. San Diego PD afterwards, private investigator, U.S. Mint in San Francisco, then U.S. Customs at the border 15 years. But we're going to concentrate on my Secret Service background because of what's been going on, of course. And I'll be able to talk to you guys, tell you whatever I know, and analyze whatever you want to come up with and kick it around. And this will be a monumental deal. You will be the third or fourth interview since yesterday evening when I was on Fox News. I'm getting hit up with stuff. Even now, I'm getting hit up with more, calls. So catch me while I'm available, right?
Will do. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jim, for inviting John onto the show. We're going to go on to our first topic. We'll go over the topics and then have some analysis and discussion. All right, all the topics. Let's do that first. And then maybe we'll have an opening statement. So the shot heard round the world, a grazed deer and a dead shooter. And I put in a question mark for that because I trust nothing that we see, but we're going to take a look and try to figure out what we can ascertain happened. The dead roof shooter, 450 feet away. What that means for a practice shot. Trump's counter sniper team let the shooter shoot before executing him. And John brought up good points, is that we don't have any evidence that he actually did shoot. Prima facie Secret Service complicity, new Trump optics from this, and the history, the essential history that the deep state did assassinate JFK, RFK, and MLK, hundreds more over that, corporate media's response and people of interest, and then a very interesting point of Vincent Fusca, conqueror of the dark behind Trump again, and that he and his wife have facial structure features apparently identical to JFK Jr. and his wife, Carolyn. Let's start with opening statements. Jim, opening statement, brother.
Well, whether it was staged or not, he has an apparent hole in his ear. It looks authentic to me. That hole is worth 10 million votes. The effect is going to be solidified support for Trump. The Secret Service was wrongly, as were so many other agencies, consolidated into Homeland Security following 9/11. Great blunder, where, of course, the whole mammoth edifice was based on the East German Stasi. I hope it will lead to returning Secret Service to the Treasury. There can be no doubt, any way you interpret this, it was an inside job. And we're going to have to unpack exactly how much of it was real, how much of it was staged. Was it going to redound to Trump's benefit politically overwhelmingly?
Thank you, Jim. Private investigator Brian Davidson, opening statement, brother.
I was sitting out on surveillance yesterday when I saw the first tweet related to the event, which must have been about 6:25 or something. And, of course, because I was doing my job, I couldn't pay a lot of attention to every detail that was taking place. But my first role whenever I see a suspicious event of this magnitude is to basically download all the earliest and most reliable evidence, screenshot everything that I find to be meaningful or questionable about the event, and create a folder and begin to index all of the data so that I can get to the analysis. The process when I analyze a false flag generally takes me 4 or 5 days, because the analysis is really where the devil's in the details. Getting it right is very important. And I don't always get it right, but I do the best I can. At least as a professional, I'm putting a lot of time and energy into making sure that the analysis is done as correctly as possible. So at this point in time, we're less than 24 hours post event, and I have some relatively large files with lots of very interesting facts, and I can tell you right now, this thing stinks. It stinks to high heaven. What exactly it was, what exactly we saw, I don't know if I've got any conclusions yet, but I can tell you it stinks like hell.
I like the smell of the exposure, though, brother. John Carman, retired Secret Service, retired San Diego Police Department, and a PI. Opening statement, brother.
Well, technically, I'm not retired. I'm not getting any paychecks, and I'm a whistleblower, so I'm not even getting Social Security.
Ooh.
Yeah, think about that. I think the time frame we're talking about, Brian, was about 6:15 Eastern Standard Time, which would be 3:15 Pacific Standard Time, was around the time frame I was actually watching on Fox News, and then got involved in doing all kinds of feedback and stuff with other people and phone calls and stuff there. There's a lot of stuff going on here, of course. You could break it down any way you want. But what I observed on the original filming, when they're showing this stuff, there seems to be a lot of interference. In fact, Fox News on OAN was being interrupted on the feeds. The buffering circle was going intermittently. That's one Fox News tab to the other Fox News main station versus Fox News OAN San Diego, because they're based in San Diego. So I'm watching this stuff. It's very frustrating. I'm going back and forth. First thing I noticed, they cut the sound. When they cut the sound, they're messing with the actual report of the rifle or the gunshots, which sounded like a small caliber to me. And I overstayed it, because it wasn't like click, click. It was more like a ka-chunk, 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 because that's the action of a gun at a distance. But I'm looking at all these people in the crowd. I saw that guy Fusca or whatever. He's a nut job. He's sitting there looking left, and he's looking right, and he's looking down. The report of a gun is going off, and he's barely looking up, not acting like he's aware of anything. Other people are reacting. Now, this is my behavioral analysis background, Secret Service training, U.S. Customs at the border, 4 to 5 million people at the border in 15 years. People don't understand the high intensity of evaluation. Even while I talk to other people that are supposed to be human, their reactions, are they lying? What is the reaction I get back, the feedback? I'm also the guy that interviewed John W. Hinckley in front of the White House at 2 a.m. in 1976, 5 years before the 81 incident, and he did not shoot Reagan, in my opinion. We can get into that area later. Anyway, they're messing with the sound. You see Trump flinch. Now, I don't know if you guys noticed, but when I flinch, you can see something, right? That's a flinch. Then he reached up and grabbed his right ear area. That's when he went down. He knew to go down. Agents are starting to show up real quick. They should have got there a little quicker, because that's always going to be a critique. They're going to pull the director in, just like other directors, Julia Pierce years ago. They had all kinds of problems with people running around with AK-47s, shooting, spraying the White House, and that stuff has been done. So there's a lot of critiques I could get into the agency, especially if I got hired to be a director on that. So you got all the coverage. They're doing the human shield. They're looking around. I didn't see hardly anybody pull a gun. That's the first thing you should be going for, just like in the Hinckley situation. Brady got hit, Delahunty the cop, who was looking at the president. Two other cops were looking at the president. Then you got backup Brady, Delahunty the cop, then McCarthy, who turns around and has his arms open, no gun. He should have pulled his gun immediately and put his other arm in front of his chest to protect himself, because he didn't have his vest on. He still got hit because he had his arms open. Then Reagan got hit with something else. It was after the sound of the report of the gun was done. John Judge, reference John Judge YouTube. He's gone now, but he indicates the same thing. The gunshots were done. Reagan had his arm up. He got hit with a flechette disc. That's a CIA operation. And if Reagan was incapacitated, you know who would be in his place to take over. that day, right?
Let George do it.
Thank you. George Poppy Bush. So following in the same thing, back to this thing in Pennsylvania, you got guns going off. And the way I've gone back and reconstructed it, Secret Service had a guy on a rooftop. They had him in their sights. They're scoping him out, and then the gunshots are going off, and they're looking at him. No, there's something wrong with that picture right there. Dissect it. If they got him in his sights, he's not doing anything. They're going to sit there and watch him to see if he takes a certain action that's an overt act, you know, like racking one in the chamber or cocking or charging the weapon and stuff like that. They were waiting for something, and then the gunshots are going off. The guy came up from his scope to look up and go look around, what's going on? And then he went back to the scope to shoot. That's when they probably shot the crooks guy or whoever on the roof. Shots are still going off during that time, which means that guy may not have shot anything. They waited too long. And if he had done anything, they would have shot him, but they should have shot him prior to that. But you can't second guess who's up there because that's their point of vision.
John, when he's up there with a weapon, isn't he a legitimate target right then?
Yes. From the very beginning, if I was the CST, counter sniper team, on duty watching, I see a guy go up there. He's not one of ours. We got a sniper on the roof. Okay. Boom. Take it out.
Take him out.
That's it. Take it out. The other shots would have still been coming, which they did. That means there's an alternate shooter. They even got a picture of what looks like a trail, a digital enhanced thing showing what looked like a bullet across the screen around Trump or behind him. That's critical. The angle where the snipers are pointing are away from Trump at another angle. And if they shot a bad guy at a rooftop nearby, it's very clustered because the guy at the top of the bleachers who got hit allegedly got hit in the back of the head somewhere. It's not clear. If he's facing Trump and I'm at the top of the bleachers, I get hit. I'm going to get hit proximally from this direction somewhere.
Or have his brains blown out the back of his head, which could be described as being hit. You know, it's a way they describe it.
Right, but there's no building behind him directly. The Secret Service is off to the right.
Right.
So there's no building behind that area, which means another shooter. That guy got killed at the bleacher. A woman, allegedly another person, got wounded. Then the shots are still being fired. Now, later, they add the sound back on, so now you can count the reports. Pop, pop, pop. And I'm faking the spacing, but a little bit. You have to get it. So they got three shots, then later, they pop, 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 or however fast. And then they continued even after that. By that time, Trump goes down. Secret Service starts responding to surround him, which they should have been a little closer because they still had to go up on the platform. They should have had him covered on the platform, but that's hindsight. You know that how that works. So they finally surround him, do all that routine, and then I could critique how the female agents acted and how the other agents acted. Then you hear voices now. They added in the voices and the interaction between the agents now. They are purposely deleting the sound of the gunshots, the sound of the agents communicating, and all the noises of the crowd. And that's critical information that I would need to look at to measure and evaluate. That's bad. That's something wrong. But anyway, on through the story. They're criticizing the agents and all that stuff. They get him into the vehicle. They get him out of the area. Female agents are pulling their guns and putting them back, pulling them out and putting them back. You don't do that. You pull it out and you keep it out till the threat is gone. They didn't do
are
that.
Are these even qualified agents, John? Hasn't the head of the Secret Service been DEI promoting women and colored and lesbians? In spite of their incompetence, my impression is they got kind of hysterical here. They couldn't deal with the situation in real time.
Yes, that's a good one, Jim. Yes, you're right. They promoted females a long time ago. I worked with females that were qualified in Secret Service. Don't get me wrong. They did have a few. They do have a few. Even now, you know, people I would put myself up against, martial arts and all this other stuff, which most of them don't have the training. But that's the old EEO thing. They had to hire blacks. They had to hire females. They have to hire lesbians and gays and all this other stuff. No matter what the qualifications are, that's the Democratic creed. And unfortunately, when they get certain people in there, I could already put myself up against them, and I'm 71. I could put myself up against any one of those people at 71 and handicapped in martial arts, and I could still do something just on the martial arts aspect. So if you got a female who's obviously overweight, another one with her ponytail, and every time she flicks her head, her ponytail follows, flicks it around, and flicks it around like she's looking, and it's like, that's the first thing I'm going to grab. But putting a gun and putting it out, taking it out and putting it reholstering, that's BS. You pull it out and you wait until the threat is gone. You get the person in the vehicle. You turn around, make sure everybody's gone. Are you secure? Get them in the vehicle, shut the door. Then you still continue if you're on the outside perimeter group, the perimeter security team. The inside group is the one that goes in the vehicle with the beast and the president. They give him first aid, give him water, take care of him, and get him the hell out of there. These people were scrambled. I get that. And I'm very forgiving. But I could still come back and critique it. A lot of other people will say they notice the same thing about the female agents as well. Yeah, they're going to get criticized a little bit, but that's what they have to do. They have to go through it. The director, I understand, is going to be pulled up before Congress. Julia Pierce was the name I had to look up again. She was the one that was a director years ago. She was a 30-year veteran, allegedly. It's 20 years in Secret Service. And if she stayed on politically and got appointed because she's a female, do you know how big she? You know how big I am? I'm 6'3". You know how tall she was? 5 foot something. Barely 5'3" or 5'4". Queen Elizabeth was around the same height. And I protected her at 76 at the White House. Shirley Temple Black, famous actress, ambassador of Ghana. She was also very short. I don't know what the hell it is. It's all political. That means if they can control
the director. There'd be physical requirements for an agent that they could not satisfy, John, that you got to be big enough to handle all kinds of situation, and petite women are not going to be able to do that.
That's a good point. If you're protecting midgets or dwarfs, then yeah, you could probably have somebody that's a lookalike, and maybe you could have one that's a tall dwarf or a tall midget. I get that. No. In my day of doing things, you had lookalikes that looked like Jimmy Carter. Those guys went around waving and acting like they had agents. That was fun. But you still got to have a big, tall guy, kind of big, burly, being able to move very quickly to jump in front of bullets. And that's what they did. They put you through a 19-week academy like I did. That was in D.C., by the way, folks. Carter moved it down to Georgia, which is FLETC, Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, down in Brunswick. And it was way before Tom Ridge messed it up like you guys were indicating when DHS came into effect. Secret Service has no business being connected to DHS, and FBI is also in a similar situation. Tom Ridge stuck it all in a bowl, stirred it up, and walked away. That's another discussion. But being able to jump in front of a bullet was the first thing they asked on the very first hour of the first day of the specialized Secret Service training at Beltsville, Maryland, since renamed Rollins Training Center, because that was a connected thing through LBJ back at that time. So they were honoring by renaming the building. If you felt uncomfortable in surviving and taking care of the president and jumping in front of a bullet, being able to survive and do whatever or not, would you sacrifice your life was the key phrase I was trying to spit out here. You have to be able to do that.
That's the whole idea, taking a bullet. John, looking at this, how bad is it in terms of failure to satisfy standard Secret Service protocols for protecting the president?
I'm raising my own questions. They didn't have enough protectees protected there. Remember when Hillary was on top of a stage and somebody yelled out something or did something? There was a scuffle or something. The black agent, who I was familiar with, the black agent was really close to Hillary, which is unusual because Typically at the White House, Hillary was quoted by Gary Byrne, who's ex-Secret Service, I know him. He would say that they didn't want the pigs behind them within 15 feet. So anytime they were at the White House, they wanted you guys to stand back. I get that. During the time of the scuffle. Yeah, exactly. Even Chelsea said
I think she did a thesis on Sololinsky. I think Hillary has got many deeper problems than the country appreciates.
That's an excellent point, Sololinsky, yes. But when you look at that and you're on the protective detail, it makes you want to go, well, gee, maybe I'm not going to respond so fast.
For Hillary.
Yeah, that's
presumably
a secret
suit. Trump is someone they would favor, presumably.
Yeah, but the black agent
But under Mayorkas, you know, you're going to have Secret Service agents who may have a different opinion or even an assignment to let it happen. Wouldn't you say at the very least, if this is an authentic shoot, it was allowed to happen?
Well, that's an interesting point, and I have to accept that's a very good point. I would hate to think that somebody would actually try to solicit me to do something because they wouldn't be able to do it unless they had favors in certain people. And I'm telling you, I've got tons of information that I'm trying to filter right now. The information about the fact that this black agent came up to the stage, had his hand on her shoulder to let her know, I'm right here, you're okay. He was the same agent that would carry the EpiPen to give an injection when Hillary turned into a zombie one day because she was having an epileptic reaction of some sort. But you're on the same track because they cannot have any kind of discrepancies. Sarah Palin that was vice president?
Candidate.
The one from Alaska is what I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that's her.
Okay, there was an agent that made a stupid comment because he made a comment that was a sexually related, semi-derogatory. You're not supposed to make comments at work. Again, folks, Secret Service cannot make comments about religion or politics. Thank God for the Taft Act, right? Unfortunately, there were a few people that wanted to come up and talk about religion or something. Sorry, I can't talk about it. If they want to talk about the other stuff, you have to be very careful who you talk to. It's a violation. But when somebody made a preferential, semi-negative sexual content type comment, then that guy got quickly transferred. Okay. He's lucky to be there. There was another female agent. I'm trying to think of her name. She was in Denver as a agent in charge, or maybe just a local agent, because they pull agents from all the resources, from all the different field offices. During the election time, you may get a guy that was an ATF guy, because I ran into a guy like that at the EOB next to the White House one day. Long hair, kind of sloppy looking. I said, oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm ATF. Oh, I get it. That answers everything. See what I mean? People have so many misconceptions. But
I think we're all very keen to get Brian's take on why it looks so fishy on the face of it, Brian. I mean, tell us, because I think you probably got a dozen reasons why you're suspicious.
Well, go ahead.
Well, from my perspective, oh, am I still muted? No, I'm not. Okay. From my perspective, I see all the same indicators of the known wolf type of scenario. I see all the indicators. Remember, I made this argument. I discovered this. What I consider to be an important issue about false flags when I was doing the Nashville shooting. I think it was the Nashville shooting. That was the church, right? The Nashville church. Jim asked me a question at the end of my presentation when I was breaking out that false flag. And he said, why did they have bombs at the shooter's house? Why did the SWAT team show up? And there was only one news report about it. Why did the SWAT team show up and blow up a bunch of bombs at the shooter's house? This is the church shooter that supposedly hit all the kids. I thought about that for a couple of days before it began to dawn upon me what was really taking place. Because I saw the bombs. Remember the bombs that went off in the Dallas police shooting and the bombs that went off in Orlando? The guy had a van full of bombs. And, you know, you could name off 15 different false flags where there were bombs. Well, guess what? We got bombs in this one as well. Not only did a 20-year-old wearing a popular YouTube channel called Daniel Defense, which, no, it wasn't Daniel Defense. It was Demolition Ranch. Remember Uvalde, the guy was wearing, had Daniel Defense rifles. You got a 20-year-old shooter. Now, granted, that's Butler, Pennsylvania. Those guys are great deer hunters up there. There's a lot of very, very good deer hunters. That's a very serious place. But if he's going to make it to a roof, he's going to have to get parked close enough to be able to make it to the ladder without being noticed. He's going to bring an AR. No, he's going to bring a sniper rifle. I would bring a 6.5 by 55 Swedish Mauser that I can hit a quarter at 150 yards with. And in this case, he brings an AR, which is the typical patsy weapon for, oh, these are the bad guns that everybody hates. He has bombs in his car. We have new reports of a local police officer having seen him go up the ladder, and he says that the shooter aimed the gun at him, so he scrambled back down the ladder instead of going up to kill him. This is Colin Rugg was reporting that.
Ridiculous.
Right now. And you've got bombs in the car. So a 20-year-old that watches a YouTube channel is able to get an AR-15, penetrate the most sophisticated security structure that's supposedly known to man, which is the President of the United States, from an unattended 450 feet away on a rooftop, while a sniper was sitting in direct line of sight behind Trump. They shot from the right side of the stage, and the video shows Trump at the podium and the sniper on the roof above him aimed at the shooter off to the left. And as I watched that sniper wait until after the shot was taken at Trump, I said, this is no good. This is all wrong. It's all wrong. The whole thing's wrong. And of course, TMZ releases a very grainy video of the shooter supposedly taking the shot that doesn't show what they tell you it shows. And then, of course, we have these leaked photos of the shooter from that's supposedly taken from a roof. Now, you know how impossible that is, that an officer is going to show up at a shooting scene of a president, snap a photo with his cell phone and leak that without any metadata whatsoever related to the photograph. Absolutely incomprehensible. It would be instant termination, among many other things related to evidence of this magnitude. So I see planted evidence. I see a sophisticated setup. I see a lot of things that just simply could not happen in a real world, given a real professional Secret Service where people's full-time jobs and their careers depend on their ability to protect the president. That's my 10,000 foot overview.
Yeah, I agree with all that stuff. And let's take a look at the particulars for this incident and get into it. All right, first, this is what Jim was talking about. This is the money shot heard around the world. This is war. That is worth a lot of money. And the idea of the damage to the right ear, close-up of the right ear, that again, that is just perfect. And that if this was not a staged attempt, it certainly came out perfect. Secret Service confirms one Trump rally attendee dead and two critically injured. Okay, we weren't sure as of last night if that person from the bleachers was we don't have that one. The dead attendee of the person being picked up behind Trump and taken off with apparent headshot. Now, for this, let's go ahead and take a look at the distance of what we're taking a look at, and then we'll have some more comments.
I want to see that. That's something I haven't had a chance to get to look at.
Yeah, 400 feet, 450 feet, something like that. Where was the Secret Service? And
up to the right.
Yep.
Well, they don't even show that they're on the roof on the right where the Trump
stage
area is, which is unfortunate.
That's,
but they were pointed.
That photo was taken independently earlier.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
But now I have a better angle to explain, and I was right originally because that's exactly where I was thinking that the bullets came from. And they're shooting off at some other guy off to the right.
And here is the distance from that guy with the roof 150 yards away.
That's him right there, right?
I think they hit him. Because the guy
that's is him.
Down. Looks dead. He's down.
The spectators were saying, look, you got this guy there. They weren't doing a damn thing about it. How ridiculous was that?
Can you, Carl, could you send me that aerial photo? Because I've been dying to get one of those.
Oh, yeah, brother. I already sent it to you. You already have all the links for all of the 30 little vignettes that we have. All right.
I didn't have a chance to look at 30 anything yet.
Gentlemen, any comments on that part?
Well, I love that little hole in the air. As I say, we're 10 million votes. I mean, real or stage, this is going to solidify him for the election. I don't have any doubt. They got to figure out some other way of canceling World War Martial Law. I don't know what they're going to pull out of their hat, but it looks to me like Trump is a shoo-in. I mean, he was already, but this has, I think, without any doubt, solidified his support.
Now I have a comment about it. Let's just talk about the actual act of taking the shot, okay? So in theory, this guy scrambles up this ladder carrying an AR-15, bear crawls up the roof, gets himself into position. AR-15, again, has the magazine on the bottom. So why take that type of rifle? Why wouldn't you take like a bolt action or even a lever action type rifle with you if you were actually planning an assassination of this caliber? I would, again, take a sniper rifle, not necessarily an AR-15, which is a different breed of cat. But hey, whatever, different strokes for different folks. They say he got this gun from his father. Now, I shot a bobcat once at about, I think it was about 90 yards. And that bobcat's head was no bigger than a softball. And it took me a good 30 seconds to get my breathing right to be able to line up that shot, to be able to pop that bobcat. And the funny thing is, when I got down to the bobcat after I took the shot, I looked at the carcass and I said, where there was no hole on the bobcat. I couldn't find a hole. I was looking all over it. Well, the thing's dead, but where's the hole? Well, the bullet had literally bounced off the top of his skull and killed him, and all it did was leave like a little quarter-inch slit right at the top, very top of the skull.
Wow.
And that was with my 6.5x55 Swedish sniper rifle from a stand at 90 yards. So this kid supposedly has all this adrenaline, just has bombs in his car, just scrambled up this ladder being chased by another cop, bear crawls all the way up there, lines it up, while the spectators were all standing around pointing out, hey, there's a guy up there with a gun. There's a guy up there with a gun. And then he's able to compose himself to take a 150-yard shot with an AR-15 that hits Trump just barely in the ear, but doesn't, like that bobcat, that thing died just from having that round just barely strike that skull. So Trump didn't really flinch about it. I mean, I saw a bit of a flinch, but I'll tell you, I would probably freak out if a bullet came that close to my head that it struck my ear. It would cause a massive reaction within my body. And I just find that that it's incredible that this guy is able to theoretically take that shot before getting taken out by the other snipers. No way.
You can bet that he had a reaction, Brian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My background in training in Secret Service was we trained at the range, ungodly weather during the wintertime, 8 hours a day, handguns, rifles, shotguns, Uzis, the whole nine yards. I had to shoot the Uzi. I was the first on everything. They chose me first because of my last name. Who cares? They know I was qualified, had background. And I'm not bragging. I was a distinguished expert, which means I shoot 295 to 300. Every time. That's consistent. Your selection of guns, that's an interesting comment. But the assault rifle, as many rounds as you could take up there, is not like back in the old days where you take a single sniper rifle or the Mauser thing, with the Mannlicher Carcano in 63 or these other ones nowadays. But yeah, the choice is the assault weapon. Go up on top. You got 60 rounds per clip minimum, and then you're going to do as much damage. I didn't see that, which is weird. So I'm profiling this guy. If that's his profile, he got up there anyway. He's a decoy target. Somebody got him to go up there. They could have lied to him and said, hey, I'm so-and-so undercover agent. We want an alternate backup guy. We need you to go up there and back up our other guys because they're short or something happened to another guy. Who knows? Who knows? They claim he's also associated with Antifa. So if he's Antifa, BLM, whatever, they can talk to anybody and get him to go do stuff like that anyway. Just like James Earl Ray showed up at the hotel in Memphis. Sirhan Sirhan, different case. Lee Harvey Oswald didn't fire a shot that day, joke. And I'm being sarcastic. But yeah, they profile these people to show up and didn't do a thing. James Earl Ray went to a hotel room waiting for a phone call. I go, okay, I get it. Did he have the proper equipment to do the job? Because the ammo had to match the ammo the other guys were probably going to use, or decoy. And it's interesting because you brought up a profile of the thing about them having bombs. And I was thinking, you remember the Audrey Hale case? Also a transsexual. Uvalde, transsexual. I mean, there's a pattern here. That's what they're recruiting. And there's a movement of transsexual bad guys or women or whatever. That's what they're promoting. They're getting into it. In fact, I've seen actual video on some of the stuff that was on the internet, tripped across it. They are encouraging these people of this profile because they feel like they're so left out that they have to go out there and shoot and have shootings. So I'm going, that's interesting. But it doesn't matter. It's just a profile. So they'll use whatever target they can. And if it fits their method, oh, yeah, we need to start restricting assault weapons. Look at what just happened. BS. It's got nothing to do with the other. But, yeah, that's interesting because at the same time, everybody's focused on the obvious target out in the open. I don't know of anybody that obviously did stuff unless it was John Wilkes Booth in the theater that jumped down and landed on the stage and hurt his leg. Out in the open, shot Lincoln. I actually got to see the equipment that was used on his body, the medical stuff when I was in Japan by military general doctors and stuff, which was kind of funny. That was back in 67, 68, before the other assassinations were going on. But it's just kind of a hindsight comment, but it's weird. Some are out in the open. That's obvious stuff, but they always tend to have a backup because that is the false flag thing from the deep state. Who's your main guy? Well, we got this one guy set up. His name is Lee Harvey Oswald, LHO. Okay, who's our backup guy? Jack Ruby. Who's the other backup guys? Oh, my God. They had eight teams out there in Dealey Plaza. Everybody, you know, the mob, other people I'm aware of, the guy at the storm drain cover nobody wants to talk about, the Jack Lawrence guy, and the other guy that was actually stationed in Japan the same year that Lee Harvey Oswald was at Atsugi Air Base. I was over there in 1967 when I was in high school, 10 years later. But it's kind of weird for the profile. They still are covering up stuff in Dallas of 63. But they still use the same playbook. We need a main shooter, decoy shooter. We need the backup guy. Now we're looking at somebody to kill the shooter because now they can't interrogate him or find out what really happened while the third or fourth guy got away or sixth guy or whatever. It bothers me because there's so much information going on there. And then Secret Service is doing their usual thing. Hut, 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 hut. You know, the SWAT team response, right? What was that other one? Keystone Cops. That's a comment that's been made in history about how they act. But they did the best they could for what I see, but they got decoyed. And people are still going to try to promote the fact that Crooks may have been the guy. Unless they show a video of him shooting the rifle that he had, that's okay. That's an indicator that he's an assassin, but he attracted too much attention to himself out in the open. That's very unusual. It doesn't happen that way. It's kind of like the Twin Towers in Building 7.
I want to go back to Brian. I mean, obviously, this guy was a clown. This guy, Crooks, clearly the patsy, ridiculous. Brian, do you think real shots were really fired? Did Trump suffer a real wound, or was that stage two?
I don't know the answer to that question. You know, I don't know. I can tell you it is incredibly convenient that this New York Times reporter happened to snap this photo that captured the bullet streaking through the air. Wow. those are some great, that's a great camera, great reflexes, but they want to tell us and release this stuff to set up the story and reinforce the story. I don't think this guy got a shot off from that roof, but I don't know the answer to that question. I just simply don't at this point in time. Now, did I find the blood on Trump's ear to be credible? At this point in time, I got to say that the jury's still out, because that blood is under pressure. That ear is going to bleed hard instantly once it's hit. And there's going to be a lot of blood. Trump didn't have any blood on his collar whatsoever. He had two small streaks on his face. And then when he got off the airplane later on, it didn't seem to be, you know, an indicator that he had been injured. And that would be a pretty serious injury. It'd be incredibly painful, too. I didn't like the way he flinched. I didn't think it felt quite right. But I got to tell you, when you watch the original video, it feels incredibly convincing. But then again, I've seen incredibly convincing things in all sorts of false flags. But once you put together all of the evidence, it doesn't add up. So Hollywood is a powerful machine, and they have all the resources of all these agencies. Remember, DHS, their new budget is $825 billion a year. Now, prior to September 11th, 2001, the overall budget was $36 billion. The trade centers go down. Oh, everybody's in fear. We got the Patriot Act, largest spending machine in the history of the world. And it's consistent with the smaller false flags as well. Okay, the reason why they plant bombs at the smaller false flags is so that they can walk the halls of Congress and say, look, they had a manifesto. Look, they were wearing all this gear. Look, they were maladjusted kids. Look, they had bombs. They were able to put together bombs. So we need you to pass a spending package that has new bomb-sniffing robots and new bomb-sniffing dogs and we need to have a spending, and we need to control all this armor, and we need to control all this ammunition, and we need to control all these guns. To me, they all fit a pattern that is designed to get whatever congressmen are not in on the act to agree that the people demand that they spend more money to protect their safety, which is how you get a bloated defense budget like you have right now. That, you're to me, it's obvious.
Brian,
well, that's where they're going to take away our freedoms. Exactly.
Strongly stated. All right, let's take a look at the next round of evidence.
Hey, where'd you get that shirt, Carl?
You know, that is a good question. I looked off of Amazon.
I want to support what Brian said before we go on another subject real quick. He's right about what he sees, because I see this stuff very differently, of course, but I analyze it from a very different perspective. He did flinch, and I kept backing it up and looking at it. Yeah, he flinched, and then he got hit like a mosquito bite or something and did that. He didn't get hit hard enough or big enough of a hole to really gush out, because he didn't get hit in the main body, the neck and the head. But hell, I've scratched myself by accident on my left ear, and I'll bleed all over the place because I'm diabetic. I take blood thinners, and I'll have to do this for a while. You know what I mean? But I'm like a bleeder maybe. But it all fits. And his adrenaline. Now let me tell you this: when he got shot and he goes down, then they surround him. They know he's been shot. He's got blood. He knows he's got blood. He's trailing on his face. His adrenaline's going up. You have to remember, the adrenaline's going to go up. And he gets up, he's fighting mad. He's throwing his fist in the air. I had to read his lips. I hate it when they put stuff up there because I can't read lips, or the cover of a face, or a guy's wearing a beard. I can't read his lips. I have to do that as part of my training. Fight, fight, you know, right? He could have said something else, but you don't know what he said. So, but it's good. I see him fighting because that's what his fight or flight response is the word. So once you say that, you get it. And I go, okay, I see that naturally. It looks normal. So if I see anything that doesn't look normal, I'm going to go, wait a minute, hold it right there. But so far it looks good. And I agree with Brian. I agree with Jim, of course, on that too. So it's all fitting in, but we still have this factor that still reeks of it's a fake deal, a false flag, a proxy. assassination or proxy assassination, kind of like proxy war in Iran. Get it? Iran attacks a country, but they do it proxy because they're all doing it indirectly. So it's the same thing. That's standard CIA SOPs right there. Proxy. You never do it yourself. You don't work undercover. You handle another guy. He has a handler. They do what the guy does, and then they go out and do stuff. So case officers wouldn't necessarily be doing stuff. They have somebody else do it for them.
Yeah, John, whatever it was that happened, I agree with you. When he stood up and he had the triple fight, that was gold. That was powerful.
Yeah.
And that raises questions of how could it be that perfect?
Yeah, you can't think of anybody in past history where an assassin and got through it, an attempt. I'm trying to think. Well, Gerald Ford, I have to go back to Gerald Ford, Squeaky Lynette Fromm with the 45 that she forgot to charge, and she got caught. Now, that was in San Jose, Sacramento, San Jose. I get a mix.
San Jose, I think.
Okay, and I remember the agent that was there. He was kind of a abrasive personality when I saw him at the White House, but that's okay. Now, I was 6'3". I've shrunk a little bit. Gerald Ford was probably about half inch taller with his shoes on. Big guy. And David Icke would always ask if I got enough close enough to see their eyes. No, they're all normal retinas. There are no vertical slits, etc. Okay. I had to throw that and get that out of the way. But that's a big target. That's a big target. So adrenaline is going. And when Secret Service starts laying hands on these guys, including the female agents grabbing Trump's belt, I've seen a couple photos of that too. He knows he's right there with an agent touching him. That's a very secure feeling, especially when they start grabbing you. Because remember the first time somebody was trying to throw or do something to Trump and he was on stage and they came up and surrounded him on stage real quick? And he was worried because he started ducking down. That's the normal response. What are you going to do? Get that head down. That's the first most important part is that head. The rest follows, but you got to protect that head. Even one of the agents was walking by doing this as he walked into the car, just to cover his head. So I'm surprised they didn't have a bomb blanket right there. They do have bomb blankets, but it was hot yesterday. All you guys know it's probably hot where you're at too. So I don't know. I was just pointing out a few things there, but it all seems to follow properly in some of those details. But when you start laying hands on the president, then it's going to get serious. And that's what we have a right to do. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, anyway, go ahead. I'm just kind of spouting off stuff there, but it's important.
All right. Thank you, John. Health Ranger. We had to take a look at
Mike Adams.
Yep. Mike Adams with
hey,
the
there
distance.
He is.
yep. With the sound, he confirmed it was about 450 feet away. Now, for what that means, 150 yards for an experienced shooter, Adams is pointing out that that would be a warm-up round or it would be a point-blank range for an accomplished shooter. And as we have just testimony here saying that, yeah, 150 yards for a pro would be point-blank, just as you said. And this guy down here was talking about that, or maybe it wasn't for this one. But
hey,
if
Carl,
you had
can
a
you scroll down to the picture real quick.
Scroll down to the picture.
Or scroll back up. Rather,
yep.
To the picture.
Recording another show. I'll call
the,
you.
You mean the previous one here?
Yeah, there you go. That one.
Yep.
Is there a way you could zoom in or just leave it there for a second?
You can leave it here for sure.
I'm going to tell you guys something that nobody seems to be picking up on it yet. And what you just said is important. If somebody's up there, a warm-up shot or not, and if that's accurate on the circle and the exact crosshair point where Trump allegedly was at the stand, and the Secret Service guys are behind on that building, facing back towards that building where the alleged shooter was, then why didn't the shooter just shoot straight at Trump? Is he that bad of a shot? Sarcasm? I'm a good shot. No, I'm sorry. I'm a distinguished expert. That means I have a special medal that says distinguished. That's an outstanding shot. If he can't shoot at a direct shot and he's hitting off to the right, which is his left, hitting people in the stands, you have to question that guy. Is he doing a nervous jerk? You know about jerking. When you accidentally jerk it, it goes to the left. You're screwing up. And I was gonna interject for Brian. Side alignment, trigger squeeze, and breath control, right? The top three things. And we had to keep reminding ourselves when you hit the range. Click. You know, you let it out a little bit. Side alignment, breath, click. So if this guy was in a hurry, if he was jacked up on drugs, I want to know what the pathological toxicology is on the autopsy. You understand?
Well, he was jacked up on drugs. He gave money to Act Blue. How many 20-year-olds give money to Act Blue?
I'm sorry, Act Blue?
Yeah, Act Blue. He made donations to Act Blue.
What is Act Blue again?
Democratic funding.
The Democrat funding organization
I did a case recently where a cop had a guy that was a suspect in a car crash. I'm still working on a case as a defense investigator thing up in Northern California. By the way, Brian, I'll have to talk to you off thing about it. So maybe I could help out or get some referral or something. But the guy was on fentanyl, morphine, and cocaine. So fentanyl, heroin, and cocaine on a motorcycle, suicidal, ran into a vehicle and killed himself. And he still had a foil that had burn marks on it, chasing the dragon thing, right? So there's all these indicators. When they did the autopsy, the toxicology was positive. Yeah, he was on all these drugs. He was already dead, basically. So that's why I said it. But yeah, I want to see the toxicology on that one. But that's a good indicator. I'm glad you said that.
Okay, very good. Let's take a look at more.
I guess my point is, yep. I don't know any 20-year-old that's going to look. 20-year-old on a deer hunt is going to be nervous taking that shot on a deer hunt. That's a 150-yard shot. Even if you got a deer rifle, a specialized deer rifle, and certainly not an AR-15, that's going to be a high-stress environment. You add to that, he had to get out of his car, climb up onto that roof, bear crawl under all that, but theoretically, with a cop right behind him, you add all of it together. That's a tough shot. That's a tough shot.
Maybe he was doing the marijuana.
He was that close.
Maybe he took something else to relax him. Who knows?
Maybe.
But that's a good point, Brian.
All right.
Here we go. Now, look at the Secret Service counter sniper guy. Look, watch him. He's looking. He hears shots go off. He looks up and goes back down. Then he shoots the guy. That's the timing of what I just saw.
Yep.
He's watching. Shots go off. He jerks up. What the hell was that? He goes back to the scope, and then he supposedly shoots the guy. There's too much activity. What's the other guy doing? See the other guy that's next to him?
It's exactly.
It's a two-man team. Look at the other guy laying down.
Yep.
There's two guys. It's always two guys.
Eyes
it's just
on the shooter.
Absurd they had taken him out as soon as they saw him. It's just absurd.
Yep.
Well, they could have. They could have just sat there with a little clicker and go, okay, we got one already. Is there another one? Where's the other one? Where's the drone?
Yep, where's the drone? That is a good question.
Well, I'm looking at the spot on the screen. I was kind of joking. It looks like a UFO, but I said, where's the drone? Believe me, Secret Service has drones too. That's another critique that nobody wants to know about. Why weren't their drones spotting other people in that area? That's still outside the 100 yards. And if we, 300 feet plus 40, whatever it was, that's real critical for people to understand. In that area, they basically decided to keep the secure perimeter a little bit tighter as opposed to a little bit farther out. So it was just outside that perimeter. It's still perfect. But go ahead. There's the guy with the orange hair.
Yeah, we had two eyewitnesses say that they, exactly as you guys are talking about, pointed to the shooter, alerted officials, and nothing happened. And not one, but two eyewitnesses.
Can I ask you guys, I know you referred to the guys making a bear crawl, crawling up the building. Was there an attached ladder to the building?
Yes.
It's attached.
Oh, I don't know if it was attached, but there was a ladder at the building.
Okay. I just want to ask that question. You know why? because that's what I do. It's you have to figure it out. Was it laid up there? Was it left there? Or is it one of those things that you go up, it's got a tunnel, like a maintenance thing to visualize.
I'll look at it real fast.
Yeah, that's what I would ask. Or rope, you know.
Yeah, it didn't look like it had any type of a cage around it. It just looked like a leaning ladder that one would put on there to get up on the roof.
Convenient. I'm sure he pulled that off the back of his vehicle or motorcycle or whatever.
Yep. All right, let's take a look more.
See, yeah, the ladder was a free. It is a freestanding ladder.
Thank you.
That he brought?
No, it was just there. Why would anybody leave a ladder there? Somebody had to bring it. Why would Secret Service not
know
about it? That's
probably convenient, isn't it?
Well, that's why.
And he got a great parking space. He had to have a great parking space.
And he had a great parking spot. It's not as though anyone else wanted to come to the Trump rally.
That right, 15,000
people,
spot.
But hey, you get that parking spot.
It was reserved. Reserved.
That was his last parking spot.
Reserved for the Patsy parking only.
Very VIP parking, very important, Patsy. All right, and prima facie Secret Service complicity with some of the evidence that we see here of that would indicate that the Secret Service allowed this to happen. So as John was talking about, the Secret Service would have covered that, and we have the three teams, the most innermost team, the medium team, and then the outermost team, and all of that should have been reported immediately, as John was talking about.
Sorry. I wanted to make a comment.
Yep.
James O'Keefe.
Yep.
Mr. Ambush Journalist, James O'Keefe.
Yep.
I don't put any credibility to anything he says, period. But that's okay. You know, he's entitled, I guess. But I've watched him for years. I'm not just anybody just popped up yesterday. I've been watching these people for years, evaluating them. That's why I said ambush journalist. But of course, somebody's going to throw out some mud to see if it sticks, to say, oh, they were involved, they were complicit. Really? Let's see the evidence. I'm just as willing to go after
them. Come on, John. You can see they're complicit because they didn't act to this obvious threat. I mean, there's no question about that, John.
No, I'm telling you, if I was there,
obvious. If there's anything obvious about this, it's an inside job. It was allowed to happen. Whether there were real shooters is the question, John.
I get that. But if I was there, John Carman's going to do it to the T of the book. If I was the counter sniper team on top, I would have shot the guy before he decided
to. Point. And they didn't do what they should have done, what John Carman would have done. Brian. Yeah, Brian.
1 hour ago, the FBI made an announcement that the shooter was acted alone.
Oh, give us a break.
There you go.
So they've completed their investigation and
that's
concluded
right,
that he acted alone?
They're so good. Under Merrick Garland, you've never seen such an efficient FBI force or more honest DOJ.
What's that four-word phrase? fix is in.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian.
That's I'll go important. For it. I got to leave in 15 or 20 minutes, but you guys can.
Well, you know, that comment falls in place with the Mandalay Bay shooting. The police chief was overridden by the FBI. Once he got up there, he was doing an announcement. He was practically in tears because he couldn't do anything because the FBI came in and shut him down. That's the same police chief that ended up transferring to someplace back in the Pacific Ocean called Lahaina in Hawaii.
By the way, the FBI calling this so fast suggests it was a Democrat plot. I mean, that really suggests to me to whatever extent. But, Brian.
Joe Lombardo, the guy who was responsible for investigating Vegas, became the governor of Nevada.
Thank you. Thank you. Good one, Brian. Good one.
Carl, go ahead.
All right, Dan Bongino. He is talking to Secret Service, and he's saying that this is obviously a catastrophic failure.
What's Dan got to say?
Dan said, actively communicating with a number of former colleagues from the Secret Service about the assassination attempt. This is an obviously catastrophic failure. No excuse should be made or even attempted. The failures are profound and questions must be answered about ground surveillance, air surveillance, post-standard support, and counter-sniper advanced work and
that's
response.
That's what I said about the drones.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, we have one job, and we came within inches of deadly failure today. An uneventful failure is not a success.
You
another
know,
guy gave an expert testimony. I do recommend this 15-minute interview with Dr. Dale Comstock, and he lays out the same information that John is talking about.
Every time you see the presidential parade or whatever, every time they go somewhere, you count how many vehicles, and it was a big deal. Oh my God, he's got like 15 vehicles. Well, that's because he's got counter surveillance, electronic vans. All the electronics in the immediate area are shut down or disrupted, except for them, and drones, and anybody else. And I have to say it again, because I was telling somebody again, you can't fly a drone in D.C. 15.5 square miles because of these things. So, yeah, Dan at least said something about the electronics, which is good, because that's what I was saying also, because you got to have that whole area clear. So that's because the bad guy might have a cell phone and be communicating, or a transceiver, or a walkie-talkie, or a CB, or a tin can with a wire, whatever, you know.
Very good. All right, the new Trump optics, which is very interesting, where Trump ends up after this event, whatever it was that happened. You have Elon Musk. I fully endorse President Trump and hope for his rapid recovery.
Group
and there's the triple fight and the optics, and that is just beautiful for him and for the general outcome. Kim.com, after the unsuccessful assassination attempt against Donald Trump, he will be president, and he has the mandate to end the CIA, end the deep state, end the fake news, end the endless wars, end the corruption, and reform America. It's now or never. That is strong. This is an overall article by Celia Farber that I do recommend. And the key line here, it's over. People are saying on social media, Donald Trump is the next president. And there's the best picture that we got of the ear, or one
it
of them.
It looks like Tyson's been around.
Yeah.
I have to ask you guys, if I had a chance to look at that video, it backed up, like 50 yards or whatever, or 50 feet. I would want to be able to analyze each and every one of the reactions of the people in the stands, because I zero in on those things purposely because of my job at the border, because every reaction is important. Even that guy Fusca or whatever his name is finally reacted. There were other people that, like the guy in the white hat and the white shirt, was just sitting there looking intently. He wasn't standing up. He didn't dodge or move. He's standing there watching. That's very interesting stuff. People don't look at that. They skip over it. Eventually, they will have the names, hopefully, of every person there, their backgrounds, and how long they were there, what their connection was. I mean, that's an extensive background thing. And eventually, we might get most of the information, except for minus, what, one person that dropped down off the stands, and then the guy that got shot, and then the female that got injured. But that Fusca guy didn't react the way I'm thinking is. He's a distraction. Every time they put him out there, oh, there's that guy again. That's a distraction. It's a decoy thing mentally or something when they're taking you away from the other guys. So anyway.
All right, let's look more.
Hey, you guys are wonderful. I'm going to have to do this some more.
Thank you, brother.
You guys are
glad
good.
That you're here.
I like the way you got it set up. I haven't talked to you before, but.
With this story, Ivan Raiklin, they can only win through political assassination at this point, and drawing the connection to the 1960s. And here's the background article that I did featuring much of Jim's work for the JFK, and that the idea of assassinating political leaders, oh yeah, JFK, MLK, RFK, if people haven't taken a look at the facts for that, you should, because it's definitive. Going into what the media did, fake news media downplays Trump's assassination attempt, claims he fell over after being startled by loud noises. Now, this is tragic comic. USA Today, Trump removed from stage by Secret Service after loud noises startles the former president. Crowd And this is what goes on for reporting. And this is why I like this event. The overall end point of where we're at now is, I think it's an advantage. We have CNN, Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally.
He didn't fall.
Yeah, yeah.
He dropped down.
Yeah. Donald Trump is quote unquote safe after what sounded like gunshots at rally. Sounded like, yeah. Trump escorted away after loud noises at Pennsylvania rally. Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally.
See, there's the distraction right there. Those aren't loud noises. Those were gunshots. Let's be accurate.
Yes.
They're trying to lower the importance of what's going on and change the direction of the mental thought process. Loud noises.
Well, the email with the instructions to the media as to how to cover it was actually leaked. And I think I've got it here.
Oh, that's good, Brian.
Yeah, it was actually leaked, and they basically gave them instructions on how to cover it. You're not going to say it was an assassination attempt. You're going to call it loud noises. You're not
going
to.
There you go.
We don't know anything that happened. So here's the instructions.
That's good. That's like Breitbart News.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you get your instructions? Oh, some guy in Langley just called me. You know, that's perfect.
Yeah, and there's more of these.
That's what the mainstream media needs to see. Look at that Fusca guy. That guy's a something else. He's like a target.
Yeah, we're going to have a whole section on him because that is interesting. I want to play this clip of what CNN had to say about it.
Donald Trump and the people around him perceive themselves to be
under threat. Everybody's reacting. He's looking around.
That is not legitimate. Huh? That is
what?
Wrong.
What's going on?
Yep.
He's touching his head. What? What's going on?
People,
what happened?
Donald,
it doesn't make sense.
No, that doesn't make sense, and that is a good point for its own section.
There's somebody in that crowd there back to the left behind Trump that was filming with their cell phone, and they captured a Secret Service agent hitting the deck prior to the shots.
Oh, you're kidding. Hit the deck? I'm sorry.
He just crouched down.
Oh, okay.
He crouched down, but he didn't hit the deck, but he crouched down prior to the shots.
Lyndon and Dallas got out of the way before any shots were fired.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've been under fire. I've been around explosions at the Russian embassy in D.C. a block away and stuff like that. But that's not in the training to duck down unless it's whizzing by. What was that? And then you do that. No, they should have been jumping up, going for the president to protect him.
Sure, to protect him with their own bodies.
Yeah, where's their vest that day? It's hot. I didn't wear my vest. Where are the vests? Second chance. I was the only guy in 74 that was wearing a second chance vest back in those days. And people would go, where's your vest? Oh, I got this from second chance. They didn't issue them till later. Even after 63. God.
All right, more group of hug. This. Robert Malone, a Cywar assassination attempt. And Dr. Malone has some good. There's a picture of the guy.
That's a strange profile of that guy.
Yep.
What is his take, Carl? What does Malone say, actually?
Well, that it's funny business and that the professionals didn't do the job, the one job that they were meant to do, and that it is inexcusable. He shows the little picture of the object whirring by him.
Zip.
And some of the pictures here with it. And the money shot.
Can you scroll back up, please? The one after Crook.
Guys, it's been nice, but I've got to get to a surveillance. I'm gonna check out.
Yeah, Brian, I got to get to dinner, too. You're wonderful, Brian. Wonderful.
Hey, right. Brian, give me a call.
Okay.
I like your A number. That A number looks like one I used to have at the state of California, 008686.
Wow.
Mine's 15 years old, but I know a lady who's got an A number that's 45 years old. So.
There you go.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brian.
Great job. Brian, Carl, I can say just a few to wrap if you want.
Yeah.
Let's stay on for an hour. I'm just kidding.
Jim, did you want to make anything before you have to go? Do you want to say anything or you have to go soon?
I can say about five more minutes, Carl, if you want to do anything more, just to tie together a few loose ends. I think Brian was sensational and knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. I'll just go through here. Hillary's response.
Oh,
what do you mean they
funny.
Missed?
Yeah, there you go.
We have the director that John was talking about, and she is the former, she worked for Pepsi as well.
Sugar water.
Just 3 months ago, Democrats introduced a resolution to strip Trump of his secret protection, saying that he was a felon, that
Very
you can't
good.
Do that. Defiant Biden tells donors, we're done talking about the debate and including that. It's time to put Trump in the bullseye. Interesting statement there.
Good, Carl.
Hey, Carl, and then, is there any way you could send me that particular page with the Secret Service counter-sniper team on the roof? Was a very good, clear shot. Then I can look and analyze them. They had two separate shooters, which means they could have done it alternately.
Yeah, yeah. You have all the stories, brother. I
sent
them to you.
That's JFK Jr. there in the background, right, Carl?
Yeah, let me show you this part. Now, when I saw him in the back, prominently positioned, that we covered this 4 years ago. And this is the documentation in the video that the facial structure of JFK Jr. and Fusca appear identical. And indeed, in addition with that, you have Fusca's partner and Carolyn's partner, and that also is a facial identical match. You have Mike King with the anti-New York Times. He brings out that for Trump, say, fight, 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 this is Q Post 1269, and it says, for humanity, wake up, learn. And that might be pointing to the assassination attempts in history. And it is like this one, the flag got tangled up. It kind of looks like a guardian angel there or something.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's,
oh,
that's
interesting.
A prophetic thing. I do prophetic stuff too, Carl, but I usually try to save it for other special audiences.
Yeah. Brian,
that's
and
a good
I get
one.
Into a lot of that when we talk.
That's a good one.
All right. So let's do closing statements. Jim, go ahead.
Well, Carl, I think you and Brian, John, just been sensational today. Brian has shown that this was a clown show, that this guy was clearly the patsy. John has shown that it was not in accordance with Secret Service policy. It was an inside job. The question remains, was Trump in on it or not? The bullet hole looks to me to be authentic. I think his reaction is genuine. I think his response with the fist gestures was real. So it's a really interesting case. I do believe that at least one, possibly two of the bystanders were actually killed. There'll be more to come. So I think it was an unusual hybrid case. They had a clear patsy, a la Sirhan Sirhan, a la Lee Oswald, who didn't even fire a shot, should have been taken out far in advance. But they had other shooters there, and Trump appears to me to actually have been hit. As I've said before, that hole in the ear is worth a 10 million votes. He's solidified. Unless they do something drastic like a world war, somehow declare martial law, he is a shoo-in. It's going to be a landslide. He's going to get more votes than any candidate in history by far. It's fascinating what's taking place here.
Thank you, Jim. John, final thoughts, brother.
Yeah, they ought to have an instant election instead of wasting time by waiting, because the more time they give, I hate to say it, and I don't want to anticipate another shot at killing the president, Trump. But, yeah, I go along with most of what Jim said, because it's genuine information. It looks real. I have a lot of questions when I profile these people out there in the stands, you know, because I see things from a different perspective on my training and background. And yeah, Secret Service is going to go through a lot of screening, and they're going to go back and critique them, because that's what they're supposed to do. How could they have improved? What could they have done different? And why didn't they shoot the guy earlier? That's a major deal. You don't go around waiting for people with a slingshot to go on top of a roof and figure, oh, that's a slingshot. How do you know that the weapon is not a bomb or a nuke or something? You don't know. So there's a lot of things they're not thinking. So, yeah, they could have done it a little differently, but it's going to keep coming out. We're only in the first 24 hours right now, literally. So, and the more information on misinformation is going to be important. We need to stay in touch with each other because of these little updates, like the FBI comment. That's an indicator. And if they get to the point of cutting it off, there you go. They couldn't impeach Mayorkas. They can't impeach those other guys. I don't know what Marjorie Taylor Greene's doing this week, but they're not getting anywhere. Right?
Love her.
More will come. More tension has ratcheted up. If I had to predict, since I think that this is pretty much a type of a show that is orchestrated with whatever happens, whatever falls into usable circumstances, I think that there's going to be more for the assassination attempts. And they may even completely stage an assassination attempt on Trump. Now, I'm on the position, I'll put into the show notes here at BitChute, that I do think that the White Hats are orchestrating this, and I'll give the reasons for that conclusion. So I think they're going to take it all the way. I think that they're going to stage a Trump assassination, or as John was talking about, assassinate Biden and blame it on a MAGA guy, assassinate Obama and blame it on a MAGA guy. I think that we're just getting started, but I don't think that this game can roll on much further. Something is going to break, and the American public is going to be no longer willing to put up with this bullshit. Anything else, gentlemen?
Great, great, great. Good comments, Carl. You're doing a terrific job. Keep it up, my friend.
Thank you, brother, and thank you, audience. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the news that you need to know.